Jesus Christ. He's the eternal Son of God. He came to save you and to bless you forever. And because of that, he is worthy of your all.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Folks, we are beginning a new sermon series here today on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Before we get into that, we'd like to ask you a question. Who would you say is the most significant person in history? I probably already gave it away, did I, just a minute ago there. But I looked up an article here. There was a site called historycollection.com that was discussing who, in their opinion, were some of the most significant people who have ever lived. And they had a list of like 40 or 50 people, which I'm not going to read to you today. But I do have the top 10 here for this, that this was the most significant people who ever lived then. Again, according to History Collection, number 10 was Plato. The ancient, not that stuff you played with as a kid, the ancient Greek philosopher. Number 9 was Charles Darwin. Number 8 was Alexander the Great. Number 7 is Galileo. Number 6 was Muhammad. Number 5 is Aristotle, the other ancient Greek philosopher. Number 4, Leonardo da Vinci. Number 3, Isaac Newton. And number 2, Albert Einstein. And who do you think came in at number one as the most significant person in history? Jesus Christ, which I have to admit surprised me a little bit on that. Now, of course, they were reflecting on, and understandably so, they were reflecting on how the influence that he has had, of course, on billions of people throughout human history. So they are correct about that. So they are absolutely right, though, that he is the most significant person in history. And he has impacted the world more than any other person by far. But it isn't just something that we might look at in terms of his influence on the arts and sciences and this religion that people are following now. It also, though, is seen, most importantly, how he has changed countless lives and eternal destinies for centuries. So he is the most significant person in history. And so today, then, we are starting a new sermon series that I'm calling Unique, The Life, Death, and Resurrection of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is unique. Unique means what? Totally alone, none other like him. There is no other person like the Lord Jesus Christ. So he is unique, and he is the most significant person to ever live. His life, his death, and his resurrection were the most important events in human history, and those events have changed the lives and eternal destinies of countless people throughout the ages. I have to tell you, this is going to be a multi-sectional series, which means that we're going to go through this kind of a section at a time. We're not going to start today in this series and keep going every Sunday, because we are going to be in that, we would be in this for several years. So buckle up, folks. This is going to be a several years series, but it's not going to be every Sunday. We're going to kind of digest it in parts here. What's the old joke? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? How do you look at the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? One message at a time here, right? So we're going to take a while then going through this here. So it's a multi-sectional series, and we're taking what's called a harmony of the Gospels approach as we examine the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But here is something I want us to take away from this here today, and each time in this series here, is that this is not just a series to examine some interesting things that happened in the life of Jesus or interesting teachings that he told us about, but rather it is, I pray then, to elicit a response in all of us, a response of worship, of adoration, and the giving of our all for him, because he is worthy. He is worthy of our all, our whole life, everything. And he continues then. He didn't just change people 2,000 years ago or 1,000 years ago or 100 years ago. He changes those lives, but he continues to change our lives today. He continues to transform people today for his glory. So as I said, we are taking what's called a harmony of the Gospels approach. You wonder, what does that mean? How many of you are familiar with that term, that expression, a harmony of the Gospels? Okay, we've got a few here. Harmony, sorry, Jerry, it's not a musical expression or a musical reference here in this regard. It is what? It's when you have, how many Gospels are there? More than Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? And Matthew, Mark, and Luke cover many of the same events and teachings of Jesus. John, though, the last one written, is about 90% unique, covering different aspects. And remember what John famously said? He said that his Gospels and all the other Gospels, they certainly weren't telling us everything that Jesus said and did, right? Because if they were to write that, he said, what? The world could not contain the books that could be written about everything that Jesus said and did. Who's curious? Are you curious about that? One day, I think we're going to get a chance to find out, you know, in the presence of the Lord. We know the things that are recorded for us in Scripture. What are all the other things that Jesus said and did that are not recorded, that we don't know about right now? Well, I think we're going to hear about those. We're going to have a long time to hear about those things. So a harmony of the Gospels, then, what it does is we're not looking at one particular gospel like Matthew or Luke or John, but rather we are harmonizing. We're taking all of them collectively together and harmonizing them. That is, so we're going to go through and we're going to look at, I don't dare say everything that Jesus said and did that's recorded for us in the Gospels, because we'd probably be 100 years here, you know, with that, But we are, though, going to look at this full scope that we have in all of the Gospels together. So we'll be pulling from all of the Gospels to look at this utterly unique person, the Lord Jesus Christ, his life, his death, and his resurrection from all of the Gospels. Now, I do want to say, I want to give some credit here where credit is due. This is not all my own doing, putting this all together here. That there are some fine scholars then who have done Harmony of the Gospels work here. A.T. Robertson, some of you may have heard of him. A.T. Robertson's Harmony of the Gospels is kind of the gold standard in that field. But there is also a Messianic Jewish believer, Dr. Arnold Fruchtenbaum, who has done a wonderful job then in putting these events here together. And then finally, a man named Eric Veer that is inspiring kind of the way that I'm putting things together here. And if you'd like to check this out for yourself, you can go there, go to gospelharmony.veer.info, and you will see that he's really done a terrific job based on the work of those others and putting this all together here. And so that is kind of serving as the inspiration there. So if you'd like to read ahead and do that, you'll know where we're going here then with this. So for today then, we are starting this series, then Unique, the Life, Death, and Resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our first section is the prologue. We're going to talk today and next week about things in the life of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, before the gospel accounts, before he took on flesh, before he came into the world in the person of Jesus Christ. We're going to look at some of those things from eternity and in Old Testament scriptures there of the Son of God. And so our first message here today is part one, the eternal Son of God. We are going to draw from John 1, from Ephesians 1, and also from Philippians 3. But here is the main idea that I want us to take away from this here today, is that Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, who came into this world in order to save you and bless you forever, is worthy of your all. Jesus Christ, he's the eternal Son of God. He came to save you and to bless you forever. And because of that, he is worthy of your all, our whole lives. He's worthy of it all then. So before we look at the scripture here then, let's talk about this, the eternal Son of God in Jesus Christ. When we say Jesus Christ, now he is, how long has Jesus Christ been in existence? Forever, as the eternal Son of God, right? But yet there is a distinction, though, to be understood. When we talk about Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But Jesus Christ, though, refers to a moment in time when the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, took on human flesh, and he became human. He added humanity to himself. And Jesus, or Yeshua, is his human name. Yeshua, or what we might say today, Joshua. Yeshua is Jesus' human name, Jesus. And Christ is his, if you will, his title, or his job title, if you want to think about it that way. Because Christ means anointed one, or Messiah, the Savior, the Deliverer. So he is Yeshua, the Anointed One, Jesus Christ. That's his human name and his job title, if you will, of the eternal Son of God, the incarnate Son of God, when he took on human flesh then. So Jesus is eternal, but he also, though, took on humanity, in a moment in time. And when was that moment in time? About 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, right? By the way, does he continue to have that humanity and that human body, that resurrected human body? Yes, he does. And he will have that for how long? Forever. Forever. So he is eternal, but he took on humanity, and we know him in history as Jesus Christ. We're going to look at three scripture passages briefly here. And as we read these passages here, I want us to see who he is, what he did, and what then we should do. Who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and what then we should do in response to who he is and what he did. So let's look at our first passage. It's in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Who he is, what he did. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, this is a familiar scripture passage for many of us, I know. But what do we see? Here's what I want us to see about who Jesus is and what he did from that passage there. We see that, first of all, that Jesus Christ is eternal. He is the Word. He was with God, and he is God. It says, in the beginning. Again, where else have we heard that in Scripture before? John says, Genesis, in the beginning, right? In the beginning of the Bible. In the beginning is what? That reference to the beginning of all things, the creation of all things, in the beginning. And by the way, that's the heavens and the earth and the angelic beings, human beings on this earth, in the beginning. But also, what else? Time, even time itself. And I know that's something that's really hard for us to wrap our minds around, isn't it? That time had a beginning. And I know it doesn't make sense to say it this way, but it's kind of hard for us to say it another way. It's like, there was a time when there was no time. That's, right? Doesn't really make sense then for us, does it? But no, but eternity, being eternal doesn't mean always have been and always will be. Technically, it doesn't mean that. It means what? It's an absence of time. It's timelessness, which is difficult for us to understand. But God is eternal. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is eternal. He never had a beginning. Yes, he always was. He is, and he always will be. So in the beginning, when all things were created, when time was created, he was there. He was the Word. Or so we know as we read on, who's the Word? Jesus. It says he was the Word, and that word "Word" means that he was the expression of God, the very expression of God. He was with God, and he was God. Again, how can you be both with God and be God? Of course, as we know from subsequent other scripture, we know that he is the Son of God, eternal, in the eternal Godhead of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So he was with God the Father and God the Spirit, but he was God as well. He is God. Jesus Christ, then, is eternal. He's the Word. He was with God. He is God. But Jesus Christ, then, too, he is the creator of all that was made. You know, some have suggested that he was the first of the creation, that he was the first being that God created. The Son of God was, but that isn't what Scripture teaches, right? In fact, you know, the Scripture says that the Son, in fact, is the agent of creation, that he created. He created all things that were made. Now, that all things were made, that's everything, right? So he created all things that were made. He is God, the creator of all that was made. He was life and light. Life. He is the source of all life, of physical life, of all kinds of life, but he is also the source of spiritual life, eternal life, blessed life in God's presence. He is life and he is light. And there's much opposition to him. The darkness opposes the light. But the darkness, no matter how hard it may try, it has not overcome, and it never will overcome the light, will it? Some days look pretty dark, don't they? We were just remembering yesterday, the 20th anniversary of 9/11. That was a dark day, wasn't it? And all of us have experienced dark days, not just in our world here, but in our own personal lives. We've had dark days, haven't we? But no matter the darkness of that day, it can never overcome the light that is Jesus Christ, because he will prevail, won't he? The darkness has not overcome it, and it cannot and never will. Who he is, what he did. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 1. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with" what? "Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things, according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." So here we're told that Jesus Christ, who he is, what he did. Here we're told, who is he? He is the source of every spiritual blessing. And so I think of what we have just read there as being kind of an explanation or a filling out of that every spiritual blessing. You know, that God tells us, the Word of God tells us that in Christ we have received every spiritual blessing. In other words, God has not withheld anything good, any blessing from you or me in Christ. He didn't say, you know what, I'm going to give you this, this, and this, but I think I'm going to hold back on that and that. No, we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. If it's good, you have it in Christ through faith in Christ. And what are some of those details of those spiritual blessings, the every spiritual blessings? Here's a few: election, holiness, adoption, redemption. The Father has blessed us in Christ. We are in Christ. That means we've put our faith in Jesus Christ. We are in union with him in his life, death, and resurrection. And all the blessings that he is and has are now ours through our union with him by faith. Election has been called love before time. In other words, before anything was made, God already knew you and loved you in Christ and purposed to bless you in Christ. He chose that you would be made holy and blameless in Christ, perfectly righteous. Is anybody here perfectly righteous right now? Not one of us are right now, but in Christ we are. And we will experience that in its fullness, perfect holiness and righteousness. He predestined us. He had a purpose for us, that he was going to adopt us as his sons. We are his precious children who have the full benefit of being an adopted child of God. He has redeemed us, redemption. He has bought us back from slavery to sin and death. Through his blood, we have the forgiveness of our sins, and he has poured out abundant grace or favor on us in Christ. Also, some of these other spiritual blessings are knowledge, inheritance, and the Holy Spirit. He has made known to us the mystery of his will. A little bit more on that in just a moment. But he has given us then eternal inheritance. In other words, that when we die, when we leave this earth, we go into his presence and we will receive the inheritance we have for us in Christ, all that he has promised for us. You receive this inheritance by believing in the gospel, by trusting in Christ. And in the meantime, until all of that comes about, God has given us a sign that all of this is true and real, and that is the presence of the Holy Spirit. That he's given us the Holy Spirit, who is what? The scripture says what? He is the guarantee of our full possession. That is, because you have the Holy Spirit in you right now, he is God. He is God's promise to you that he will complete everything that he has done and that he is going to give you everything he has promised, sealed by the Spirit. So Jesus Christ then, he is the source of every spiritual blessing, but he also then is the goal of history. That, as I said a moment ago, I promised I would come back. He made known to us the mystery of his will. In other words, God has a plan. God has a plan and purpose for this world. Things are moving in a particular direction. And as believers in Jesus Christ, through the revelation we have in his word here, we have knowledge of that. We have knowledge, the mystery of his will. And so we wonder, what is this mysterious will? What is his plan? Well, it's essentially this, that Jesus Christ is the plan. He is the goal of history. That he is what everything is moving toward, is that God the Father is going to put under him everything. Everything will be subject to the rule of Jesus Christ. He is the end goal of history. He is going to unite all things in him, things in heaven and on earth. He's what it's all about. History isn't about you and history isn't about me. It's about Jesus Christ and our relationship and being united to him. He is the goal of history. So these passages, who is Jesus? What did he do? And what then should we do? Well, in Philippians 3, we're going to see a little bit more about what we should do then in response to all of this. This famous passage here, Paul, the Apostle Paul speaking, he says, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead." So Jesus Christ here we see, he is the supreme end or purpose in life. He is the greatest thing in life. The greatest thing in life is to know him, to be found in him. He is righteousness, righteousness by faith. And he is the resurrection. He is our hope that we too will follow him in resurrection and conquer death in his name. Paul here says, whatever gain I had, whatever advantages, earthly advantages or good things I may have had, I counted those as loss or disadvantage for the sake of Christ. That in fact, he says that everything in life is loss or rubbish or garbage or even dung, Scripture says, compared to the value of Christ, of knowing Christ. There is no greater thing to know or to have in life than to know Jesus Christ, to be found in him by faith. And he is the resurrection then. And I'm reminded of a parable that Jesus, I was listening to someone speaking on the parable of where the man who had a very good life by earthly accounts, and he was doing very well, he was prospering. In fact, he was doing so well, he had to build, the barns that he had weren't enough to store all of his grain and all of his wealth. So he wanted to tear those down and build bigger barns then, so to store all of his health, all of his wealth, so that he'll have all of that. And then he thinks, in thinking that, then now my soul will prosper because I've got all this stuff. But God says to that man, "You fool, don't you know that your soul will be demanded of you this very night?" And Jesus says, "So what will it profit someone to gain the whole world, but to lose his soul?" There is no greater value than to have Jesus Christ, to know him, to be found in him, to be made righteous in him, not by efforts to keep the law, which we can't do, but a righteousness that is by faith in him. And he is the resurrection because he overcame death. So too can we and will we through faith in him. Who Jesus is, what Jesus did. But I said, remember, we're going to ask, well, what should we do? Well, what we've just read there, what should we do? First, we should believe in him. Put our trust in him. The second then is this, that we should seek to know him. Seek to know Christ, not just know about Christ. I hope in this series here, that as we look at the life of Christ here, yes, I want us to learn more about Christ, but I don't want it just to be that only, learning about Christ. I want us to better know Christ, that relationship there. Seek to know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul says, that I may know him. That's personal, intimate, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And all of us are on board with that, aren't we? Yes, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Yes, yes, that sounds great. And then he what else? And may share in his sufferings. Oh, Did you have to add that, Paul? Right? What does it mean to share in his sufferings? Well, when we identify with Christ, we may share in some of the opposition and the sufferings that he faced because we're associated with him. And I think sharing in his sufferings means we may suffer because of our faith in him from opposition in this world. But I think it also means that the life of obedience to Christ is hard sometimes, isn't it? It's a hard thing to do. And we may be called then to lay down our lives and to love others and serve others. And that's hard sometimes, isn't it? But he says, I want to know him and know the power of his resurrection and to share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may obtain resurrection from the dead. So what should we do? Believe in him, seek to know him and the power of his resurrection, share in his sufferings, but then eagerly await the resurrection from the dead. This then is what we should do. So what? Well, I think I've already kind of laid out the so what for us right there in that text, right? But let's just look at that again. So Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, who came into this world in order to save you and bless you forever, is worthy of your all. He is worthy. I love this passage in Revelation 5. It says here, the Apostle John, then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. There's our so what right there. He is worthy. Fall down and worship before him. Give him your all. So I would ask first, is your understanding of Jesus worthy of him? Do you understand who he really is? That he is the eternal Son of God. That he is the eternal Son of God who left that glorious throne and humbled himself to come into this world, taking on human flesh and becoming a servant obedient to death, death on a cross, in order that we might rise with him just as he rose. So is your understanding of Jesus worthy of him? And then is your response to Jesus worthy of him? I think the only worthy response is everything. Our all, our worship, our praise, our adoration, our obedience, our giving our lives to him, to serve others, to love others as he has loved us. This is the worthy response to Jesus and what he has done. Well, I pray that as we go forward here in this sermon series, not just that you will learn more about Jesus, that you will learn more about Jesus and what he said and what he did, but that you and I, all of us, that we would know him better and better and better, lay down our lives before him because he's worthy of our all. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this great hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, you are worthy of our all. And I pray, Father, that as we go forth from here, as we continue in this and upcoming weeks here, that indeed that we would not just simply learn more about you, but that we would come to know you more and more deeply and intimately, that we would surrender to you more and more, that you would have all of us, Lord, that we would seek to follow you, expressing our love for you through obedience to you, and that you would do great and wonderful things in us and through us for the glory of your name. And it is in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.